Now we're turning to the Old Testament for our Bible reading and to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in the chapter 19. And we will commence our reading at the first 31. That's the chapter 19. And the first is 31. We're reading here about a man by the name of Barsillai. And I understand that either pronunciation will carry. We're going to read at the first 31 and read on down through the verses in the chapter. And Barsillai the Gileadite came down from Jerusalem and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barsillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. And he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barsillai, come now over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barsillai said unto the king, how long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and the singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. And behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barsillai and blessed him, and he returned on to his own place. And the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. And all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the first 40. Now we look to the Lord in prayer and seek again that help from the Lord as we come to meditate on his word. Our God and our Father, we come again in prayer. And O Lord, we're asking thee now that thou would close us in with thyself in a special way, so that our hearts and our mind will be upon thee and our ears opened to hear what the Lord has got to say to us. Pray, O God, that thou would take away from us every distraction, every distracting thought, that our mind might be upon thee. Help me, Lord, in the preaching of the word. Thou knowest the need of the preacher today, Lord. And I pray that thou would be pleased to meet that need, to give to me that fresh anointing, that I might know the help of the Holy Spirit, that liberty that is found in the Holy Ghost. Give to me clarity of mind and take from me every distracting thought and give me plainness of speaking so that everyone will be able to understand what the Lord has to say to us. So, Lord, we throw ourselves upon thee. Oh, that we might know much of thy presence in thy word. Answer prayer, we pray. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. When we read here in these verses of this man, by the name of Barzillai, we find that he is an old man. He tells us himself that he is 80 years of age, and his life is almost over. Here's a man that really feels his age. And yet, what a man he was. We read in the verse 32 there that he was a very great man. Sometimes, as we read of great men of God, we are very apt to say, Lord, make me such a man. And here is such a man by the name of Barzillai. Now, his name bears testimony to his character because it simply means man of iron. Here is a strong man. Here is a man that we might say is made of firm stuff. And I want us to consider some things about this man of iron, and that we might look here and see something of his relationship with David the king. And as we see that relationship of this man with David the king, then we can see in it a reflection of our relationship with the King of Kings, with David's King, with the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that I want us to note here is his separation unto the Lord's anointed. Now, David was the Lord's anointed. If we read here in this chapter in the verse 21, we read of David there at the end of that verse there, the verse 21, we read of him being the Lord's anointed. And in that, he is a picture. He is a type representing Christ. Because the title of the Lord Jesus Christ, the title Christ, of course, means anointed or the anointed one. And so when we're looking here at this relationship between Barzillai and David, it is a reflection of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is anointed of God and sent forth in the work of redemption. Now, by reading of this man here, as we have noted in the verse 32, that he was a very great man. This term great will relate primarily to the fact that he was very wealthy, that he was very prosperous. Absalom, the king's son, had rebelled against his father David, and by his craftiness, he had won the hearts of the people to himself. We read in the chapter 15 in the verse 6 there that he stole their hearts. He stole the hearts of the people from the king. And he did that by his sweet words, by his promises, by his actions, by ridiculing the king. In this manner he had gained the confidence of the people until all of Israel followed after him. And it was the purpose of Absalom to kill his father, King David, and to rule in his place. And the people fell in with this plan. Now, while David, the rightful king, he went, as we read there in our Bible reading, he went to a place to seek exile from Absalom, his son. He went to a place by the name of Mahanaim. And in that place of safety, while Absalom, his son, took the city of Jerusalem, we have this man, Barzillai, and he went to David. He identified himself with David. He left all else and separated himself from all else unto David. Now, it was not a very popular thing to do, especially for a great man, because David's men were regarded by the people as renegades. They were regarded as rabble. They were just common people. We read back there of those people in 1 Samuel. And in the chapter 22, we have a description given of those people. And they were just ordinary common people. And we might well have them to be regarded, even in today's language, they might be regarded as the rabble of the people. So for Barzillai to go to David, to be identified with David and with these people, it was not a very popular thing to do. However, it must be said that in the chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, the Lord is speaking of those same men that went to David, and he calls them mighty men. But in the eyes of the people, they were just rabble-rousers. Now, it takes a strong man or woman to identify with Christ. Just as this iron man, this man of iron, as his name would mean, had to be strong and dedicated and convicted to go to David and be identified with David at such a time, so people, it takes a strong man or woman or young people to identify with Christ and his cause. While the majority are siding with the world and with the devil's crowd. To be regarded as rabble, to be regarded as common, to be opposed, to be misrepresented, to be in the minority, it's very difficult to be in the minority. It is easier to go with the crowd. The people of Israel went in as a crowd with the David's son, with Absalom. Only a small minority went with David. It was easier to go with the crowd, and people, it is easier to go with the crowd today. But it isn't always right to go with the crowd. The Lord warns us about going in the way of the multitude. It is very seldom, if ever, that the great crowd, the multitude, is right, is correct. When we think of, even when the Lord Jesus Christ was being tried before his crucifixion, we remember how all of the people cried for Barabbas when the question was put to them, would they have Barabbas or would they have Jesus? They cried, all of the people, they cried for Barabbas. They made a choice to go with Barabbas. But it was their own choice that they made. It was the wrong choice. And so it is always easier to make a wrong choice and go with the crowd than to make the right choice and be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's this man, Barzillai, and he joined himself to God's anointed when it was difficult to do so. People, let us learn the simple lesson today and be joined to and identified with the Lord and with the cause of Christ. To be separated from all else onto Christ, no matter what the crowd is going to do. We've also before us here his support for the cause of the Lord's anointed. And he supported David and David's men both with his presence and with his substance. When we read there in the verse 32, we have the fact stated that he provided for the king of his substance while the king was in exile. Here's a man who provided. He went to him. The king had his presence, but he also gave up the king his substance. Here's a man, he was informed. Here's a man, and he played his part. He wasn't just a nominal supporter in name only. He did his lot for the cause. When we go back into the chapter 17 there, we read again of this man and others. And we read of him again coming on to the king when the king is in exile. We read of Barzillai. And we read there that he with others in the verse 28 of the chapter 17, that he brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine, for David and for the people that were with him to eat. So here's a man, and he was really involved. Here's a man, he is now supporting the king. Here's a man, he's throwing himself, everything he is and everything he has, he's throwing it into the work and into the cause of the king. Why is he doing that? Why is he helping to sustain the king and his people? Why is he helping to support them? Why is he encouraging them? Why is he there to strengthen them? People, he is there because he saw the need. If you look at those verses again at the end of the chapter 17 there, we read that he brought all of these things to the king and for those that were with him to eat. Then at the end of the verse 29, here's the reason. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. He saw the need. He saw that these people were weary. He saw that they were hungry. He knew what they needed. He was able to meet that need. He was able to help in it. And so he threw himself into the support of the cause of the Lord's anointed. And again, people, surely there is an application for us today that the cause of Christ is a worthy cause. It is worth our support. It is worth our support both in our presence, our personal presence, and also in our substance, by the giving of our substance. Here's a man, he separated himself from all else and identified himself with the king at a time when it was not a popular thing to do so. And here's a man who supported the cause of the king, both with his presence and with his substance. But then we can see his steadfastness to the Lord's anointed. He continued. He continued right to the Jordan. We have in the verse 31 there, that we were reading together in that chapter, the chapter 19, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king. He went over Jordan with the king. We find again the same thing in the verse 36. We have him making the promise that he will go over the Jordan with the king. He continued right to the Jordan. He continued over the Jordan. Now we know that oftentimes the Jordan is a picture, a type, a foreshadowing, a representation of death. Here's a man, he went on with the king for as long as he could until it was time for him to die. Just like Paul, he would have been able to say, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. He continued on to the very end. You see, many start well, but after a while they start to wane, and they leave it all to others. They become unreliable, they bend at the criticism that comes from the world, they may even change sides, but a man of iron will stay the course, will stay the course. Here's a man, and he continued steadfastly to the king, to David, to the anointed of God, right to the very end, until it was time for him to die. Now you will note this, that his heart was not on what the king could do for him, but it was on what he could do for the king. He didn't stay with King David just to get what King David would give to him. That wasn't the reason for him staying. When we read there those verses, we can see that that is the case. In the verse 33, we find there the words of the king. And it promised there to look after David. The king is saying, come with me. Come to Jerusalem with me. And I'll feed you. I'll look after you. Even though you're an old age, come and I will look after you. I'll meet your every need. But in the verse 34, the verse 35, we have the response of Barzillai. He is speaking there to the king. He has nothing else really now to give. He's an old man. He is saying, I am this day 80 years old. He's saying there, can I discern between good and evil? In other words, I'm an old man. I can't make good judgments anymore. I can't even give good advice anymore. I'm an old man. My judgment may not be correct. He says there, his taste is gone. He's saying there, really, he can't hear the singing anymore as he once had done. He's saying he's an old man. And he's saying here to the king, why should he go over Jordan? Just for the king to feed him. He said, I would be a burden to the king. It's not for what he can get out of it. People, sometimes it is possible to get to the stage that what we get out of the Lord and of the work of God and of the church is more important than what we put into it. Sometimes that's the case. I know from experience, outside Ballymena there's a place called Green Pastures. I don't know how you would describe it. It's a church of some description. And I know people who go there. I know why they go. They will say to us it's entertaining. It tickles their emotions. They will say it makes me feel happy. It makes me feel good about myself. They'll say I like the music. And I like the entertainment. I like all of the amusement that I get. I get all of this out of it, and that's why I go. It's what they can get out of it. It's not what they can give into the work of God, put into it by way of their energy, their talents, their time. It is what they can get out of it. People, here's a man. Here's a man who's dedicated to the king's cause. It's not for the reason that he's getting something back out of it. It is because he wants to put into it. He loves the king. He supports the cause. He continued with the king until death, right unto the very end. Here's a man. He was steadfast. Barzillai, this iron-like man, this man who had real grit and backbone, here's a man, and he continued right to the very end. Reminds me of that verse there in 1 Corinthians 15, the verse is 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the call of God to you and to me, that we might be like this man, Barzillai. But then we've also here his supplication to the Lord's anointed in the verses 37 and 38. He's saying here to the king that he doesn't want to be a burden. He doesn't need the king to give him food to look after him. But in the verse 37, here's his supplication. He says, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. He had respect for his mother and father. We can feel that respect for them even as we read these words. He retained them in his memory. He retained them in his heart. It's obvious that he often thought back to those times when he lived at home with his mother and father. I'm sure he had many thoughts of their kindness, of their fondness for him. Here's a man of iron, but he has proper affection for father and for mother. But we see here in these verses that he has a supplication, a prayer to make. His desire and his prayer is for Chimham. Now, it is generally accepted by the commentators that Chimham was his son. And as we read through other parts of Scripture, I feel that this is confirmed. He has a desire, he has a prayer for his son, that his son should continue with the king. That is what he says there. Let him go over with my Lord the King. In other words, let my son go on with thee. He wants his son to walk with the King, to serve with the King, to fellowship with him. And dear men and women, parents, is this not our desire? Surely it is our desire today and our prayer before God for our children, that our children would walk with God, that our children would go on with God. We think of John's words in that third epistle of John there, in the first four, and while it may be in a different context, yet the words are applicable here when he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have no greater joy than this. What is the joy? What is the prayer of Barsillai? What is the prayer of every godly parent? It is that their children would walk with God. It is that their children should go on with God. Oh yes, he was a man of iron, but he had proper affections and proper desires for his family. He looked back with affection to his father and mother, but he didn't spend his days looking back. He didn't spend the end days of his life just looking back. He looked forward. What to? He looked forward to his family that would survive him. And his prayer was, oh, that they would go on with God. Dear men and women, fathers and mothers today, surely this is our heart's desire. I was going to say more than anything else. But more than anything else, even compared to education, employment, whatever, it is the parents' heart's desire that their children should go on with God, that the children should go on with Christ, the anointed of God. And then we have the sequel. We have the blessing of the anointed on him. David's blessing. Here's a man. He's an iron man, strong man. He's made of firm stuff. And he comes to die, the first 37. He's talking about his death, but he had no fear of death. He anticipated it with gladness, with contentment. He speaks of it with calmness. There's no dread there. And no wonder. After a good and useful life of honoring God and serving the Lord and fellowshipping with God, there is no fear in meeting God. Here's a man, he's coming to die, and he's not afraid of what lies before him. We can see that here. Not for him the sounds of singing and life and youth. He's really saying that. He's saying to David, look, I'll not go on to Jerusalem with you, because I'm not really anticipating. I'm not really looking forward anymore to the sounds of singing, to the sounds of this life. Do you see, he had better things to look forward to dying and to seeing the Lord, to dying and going to be with the Lord. That was what he was looking forward to. He's saying, I'm an old man. My life soon will come to an end. I'm not looking now forward to the things of this life. There's better things for me than listening to the joyful singing of young men and young women, even in their praises unto the Lord. There's better things ahead of me. I'm going to be with the Lord. Here's a man, he had no fear of death. Here's a man, look again at the first 39, Barsillai. He died with the kiss of the King on him. Kiss of the King, the blessing of the King, the anointed was upon him. I can just see that picture. Here's Barsillai. He's gone over Jordan. He's now at the stage where his life is at an end. And he is taking his leave of the King. And David bends over the old man. And I'm sure he embraces him. And he kisses the man on the cheek and on the forehead. And David dies having gone back again to his own city, he dies with the kiss of the Lord's anointed upon him. Tell me, people, is there any better way to die? That is the way to die, with the kiss of the Lord upon us. But only for those who die in fellowship with the Lord, only such will know that. We all one day will die. Every one of us. Young people, one day you will die. Older people, someday we will die. But oh, if we die in Christ, in fellowship with the Lord, if we die in the love of the Lord, having known the Lord's pardon, the Lord's forgiveness, that peace that God gives, having known the blessings of God, the presence of God, the provisions of God in life, that's the way to die, people. But only those who have come to Christ will die like that. Are you saved today? Have you come to Christ? If you have never come to Christ, if you have never repented of your sin and thrown yourself on God and the mercy of God for salvation, if you have never done that, then, my friend, you will not die in the same way that Barzillai died. You will not die the death of the righteous if you haven't got the righteousness of Christ upon you. You will die the death of the enemy of Christ, and you will hear that awful pronouncement when you stand at the judgment seat, "Depart from me. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Oh, what an awful way to die without a Savior, to die without salvation, to die under the very curse of God. "Depart from me, I never knew you," is what the Lord will say. Oh, it will not be for you the death that Barzillai had with the kiss of God's anointed upon you. Again, we have here the answer to his petition for his son. In that verse 40 there, we can see how the petition was answered. In the verse 37, he's saying here, asking the king that his son should go on with him. In the verse 40, we read, "Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him." Here's his prayer answered. His son is going on with the Lord. That's the application here that is found for us today. If we go on over into the Bible, the First King and the chapter 2 and the verse 7 there, we read the words of David. He's charging his son Solomon. And he says, "But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." Here we find that Absalom is being directed by David the king. And David is saying, "Be kind to Barzillai's sons. Be kind to these young men." He's answering the prayer, the request, the desire that Barzillai put to him. And if we look there again over in Jeremiah 41, and in the verse 17, we can see that way on in days and years to come, we read there that they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem. Here we have generations later on, and where are they? They are in that piece of ground that David the king owned, and that he gave to the descendants of Barzillai. Barzillai prayed for this young man. He desired that his son should go on with the king. His desire was answered. He went on with the king, and his descendants, his family, his seed, are still going on. They're still to be found there in David, outside David's city. They're still found in that very place that David has given to this young man. People, here we have this wonderful answer to prayer. David's cause, it needed men like Barzillai, strong men, men of iron, not spiritual weaklings, but solid, dependable people with fixed hearts and minds who would not easily be turned away. And people, that's what the cause of Christ needs today. Such people. I wonder, are you and I, are we such today? Can we say, Lord, make us to be like Barzillai. Let us be great men and women and young people in the sense that we will be strong for the Lord. That we will separate from all else and consecrate ourselves to the Lord. That we will be those who will fully support in every way we can the cause of the Lord. That we will be steadfast right to the very end, not turning aside, and that we will be those who supplicate the throne of grace in prayer and know the blessings of God in answer to prayer. May God be pleased to apply His word even to the saving of souls and to the restoring of backsliders, to the blessing and edifying of the people of God even this day.